So, Jorge, should we talk about the paper?
Sure.
So, have you had a chance to think about our discussion from last time? Not sure what you're getting at. So when you say at the volume level, what exactly are you proposing to do at the volume level? So here's how I think about this, right? Now, I feel like administrators are the ones who are deploying the extensions, correct? Extensions require a certain input and a certain maybe output descriptions. And I feel like the input is pretty straightforward because if an extension, let's say, does energy efficiency optimizations, then the administrator can say, for this specific volume, I want it to be energy efficient, right? And then the extension would also require, let's say, in the case if it's something like a flash caching extension, it would require a flash device that the admin need to specify so that the extension can use it. So the extension itself would then perform its task, which is energy optimization for that space or for all the IOs, and work with all the IOs that are targeted to that specific volume. Correct? So any IOs that are going from the application to that volume are all optimized with this energy efficient extension, energy efficiency extension. So I feel like those are the IOs we should be talking about in our rules, or those are the accesses that we should be talking about in our rules, as opposed to accesses that are generated by the extension or modified by the extension. So then, I mean, if we follow along that train of thought, then what would happen is for every extension, you would have an input domain and output domain as before. Input domain is always going to be a data volume, right? That contains data that can be accessed by applications directly without the extension. And the output domain consists of potentially data volumes as well as devices or raw devices, whatever, we have to come up with a good name for it, where the extension could also create accesses to such devices.
I see. So a basic question would then be, how would we compose a stack if inputs never have raw devices? Or would inputs be also allowed to have raw devices?
Inputs would never have raw devices.
Okay, so then there would be extensions which map from a volume to...
Inputs, the reason I'm saying that inputs should not have raw devices because extensions optimize some metric for data that users store. So accesses to that data, accesses to the user data are the ones that the extension optimizes, and therefore any input that's coming into an extension is an access to a user data, because that's what extensions optimize. In this new definition of extensions.
Yes, I see. Okay.
Whereas the extension can use additional devices for, you know, creating more IOs, but all of that would be mapped to a portion of its output volume. Does not affect its input volume. Now, this of course rules out sticking an extension in front of a device, right?
Yes.
So, for instance, if you look at, I'm looking at the examples now in the paper. I think it's figure 2.
A or B?
So, if you look at figure, let's say figure 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could do a dedupe extension for just the flash device.
Yes.
If you allow the input volume to be a raw device.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an additional possibility, that having an extension for a raw device would create. You see that?
Yeah.
So in this requirement for input volumes always being data volumes, you cannot stick a dedupe extension in just focused on the flash device.
What's the major point behind imposing those restrictions?
I think the major...
Or benefit, let's say.
Well, the major benefit is that then we get to still work with a stack instead of, let's say, a tree.
I see, okay.
Because
instead of some graph, it's always going to be a stack. Okay.
Yeah, that's one advantage. But that's not really an advantage in terms of flexibility of deployment, but it's more of an advantage in terms of making the theory tractable, right? So we consider far fewer possibilities.
Okay.
That's one advantage, but that's not really an advantage. It's more of a limitation, correct?
Yeah.
when we talk about it in the paper.
Yeah, I mean, it's an advantage for the theory, but not, it's a limitation for the user.
The reason I'm thinking about all this is that all of these possibilities are brought out by the fourth reviewer. He in his review, if you look at it carefully, he says, why not stick a dedupe extension in front of a flash device as well? And then you would have, you know, both extensions dominate and stuff like that, right? And so why are we not talking about arbitrary graphs in just a stack and that sort of stuff? But I feel like, I mean, here's another thought. Let's say you allow for extensions to be specified for raw devices, then from a deployment and administration standpoint, it's very weird because, you know, what is stored in this raw device?
Yeah, I see. So essentially you have somewhere where no IOs are supposed to go to, and then it's seeing this IO flow.
Yeah. And moreover, the only reason F is being used in the first place is because the FC extension exists in the stack.
Mm-hmm.
And there are IOs going there. And if you remove the FC extension, IOs stop going there. So what does it mean when you configure a stack with a dedupe extension for just the flash device? So, in other words, admins have to then reason about every device that they have in their system and decide whether they should deploy any extension or not for that device. I think it makes the admin's job more difficult. Whereas if it's a volume, then the admin knows, okay, well, I have this sort of data in the volume, and this sort of extension makes sense for that data. It's a non-performance critical volume, so let me stick, compression extension on top of it, right? Or, if it's a volume that's very sensitive, let me stick an encryption extension in front of it. So, in other words, I think what I'm arguing for is that the extensions are always, or it's more reasonable to map extensions to units that admins can actually understand and understand in terms of what data it contains, and then map those to requirements. Because every extension comes with a goal, right?
Yes.
And how do I know, how does the admin say, okay, for this volume, this extension is actually appropriate? Because the only way he would know is that he would look at the goals of the extension and the goals for that volume and say, is it a good match or not? For a raw device, how do I come up with a goal? It's not clear. Because the raw device could be used for any data.
Yeah, it could. I mean, the side effects, I see your point.
And the raw device is used as a side effect of using some other extension. Right? In this case, for instance, if you look at 3B, then raw device is a side effect of the flash cache extension. And how do I decide, let's say even before the flash cache extension was actually used, how do I decide what should I optimize the raw device for? It's not clear, right?
Yeah, it's not clear before, you're right. I mean, the only concern I have is that it limits what the power of, I mean, it limits a little bit the flexibility of the system, but I see that it has a greater advantage that it makes the system more defined, right? And the expectations are significantly easier to reason about.
Yeah. Okay. This is a fairly complicated message, though, to convey.
Yes, I mean, yeah. That's, yeah. That's the hard part.
So I feel, I mean, this is the best reasoning I could come up with for our current approach, which is, disallowing all these arbitrary deployments of extensions and arbitrary configurations, because now what we have is basically a framework in which every extension has a specific data volume as its input domain. Right? So in other words, you can think of modeling this as, as a set of like circular nodes that represent volumes, and a set of boxes that represent extensions. Right, so every extension and deployment is an arrow from a circle to a box, right? Because that's the in, you're mapping rather the input domain of the extension to the extension itself, right? So you have potentially multiple arrows going out of a volume to various boxes, because I want to actually optimize the volume not just for power but also for reliability and so on, right? So each of those would lead to an arrow, and then it's not really a graph, but rather it's a question of deciding, well, when an IO comes into an ex to a volume, how does it get routed? Right? How does it get routed through these various extensions? And that is where our stack model actually works, because it specifies an ordering, right? As opposed to a graph modeling where you can stick an extension in an arbitrary place, in a given deployment, right, of extensions, and that could create a tree or a graph. As opposed to that, now we have a stack.
The only question I have now is, so when we talk about volumes, we're talking about this abstract concept some data, let's say some.
Self-contained, let's say self-contained, a self-contained data volume.
Self-contained data volume, we're talking about an abstract. Let's say range of LBAs and that maps to what exactly? Because then, I mean, how would you know if a given device that you have as output doesn't map to a given volume?
What do you mean?
So, you could, I mean, in the outputs, we have raw devices or data volumes, right? Right. So if we have some extension talking to some raw device, and then but we actually also have a volume on top of that raw device. Could that be the case?
A raw device is a partition.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm saying is that could a volume be part of a raw device that in which the raw device is specified as output of a given ex of some extension in the stack?
Yeah, but that would lead to corruption, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But so, what I mean.
No, then that output domain will become a volume itself because there is a data volume, legitimate data volume sitting on that raw device.
Okay, so essentially what we're saying is that when we are talking about a raw device, we are saying about, we define a raw device space as an unparted, let's say as a unstructured, an unstructured data volume or something like that. I mean, it's just this set of unstructured blocks which the structure could be defined by the extension or something like that.
Yeah, it's a structure that cannot be used by a user level application in or the OS in the absence of the extension. So now, I guess the question is, do we want to allow output data volumes to be a superset of the input volumes, which are always data volumes? So in other words, or different than I guess what I'm saying.
Oh, I see where you're going. Okay, that makes sense. The output should be, the input should be a subset of the output.
Subset of the output.
Wasn't that where you were going?
Yeah, I'm just wondering what should be the relationship between input and output data volumes, because so far we didn't specify any such relationship in our work, right? Does this?
Yeah, it has to be, right? I mean, why would you have two outputs combined into one?
Mm.
No, actually, no, it can't be.
So I'm just thinking of examples now, right? What kind of examples do we have so far? We have... What is LC? LC is local cache.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so the cache memory would be a raw device. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's look at the set of extensions that the block versioning.
Yeah, block versioning is something that, and that's the one that I was thinking of, but the issue is, I mean, I couldn't find a realistic case in which it made sense to have it.
The block
I'm still struggling to find a realistic case in which set of the outputs.
Block versioning doesn't invalidate that statement, right? Block versioning input is a subset of the output.
Yes. Yeah, what I was thinking, that's true.
In fact, for us to even allow this, we do have, in this case, DR, right? The data deduplication extension deduplicates data blocks on the remote drive DR. So DR is actually a data volume in the set of in this specific example that we are talking about, right?
Figure eight.
Well, figure 10 is also the same thing, I guess. So here you have a figure 10 where you have an input and output domains don't intersect for IO. For DD. Wait a minute, what is this? Yeah, for IO. DD is deduplication.
Deduplication.
IO is IO offloading.
Oh, I see. Okay.
IO offloading where you redirect all requests to a different remote volume. So with IO, you have a situation where input and output are completely disjoint. So input is not a subset of the output.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. Okay. So then there's no simple rule that we can just say that we can argue about the inputs and outputs. Seems so.
Yeah. So that's one less restriction we have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to the theory table now, because that's where all of this started. Figure six, column 1, row 3.
Okay.
I remember we were discussing this last time.
Yes.
So we have let's look at the, we have a example of the stacking, right, for that cell. I think later on in the paper we have that in figure 8. So IO offloading and IO shepherding. IO offloading's input volume is D, output volume is DR. IO shepherding input volume is D, comma F. Right, see here the F will go away because F is a device. But what is MF? What is MF?
F is... okay, managed flash technology. Block level block.
Oh, wow. Okay. So here we are saying that implementing a block layer extension for Flash, just the device, instead of a data volume. Which does make sense. Optimizes performance. This just threw a monkey wrench into my plans.
Yeah, I remember that we came up with this guy because we were having trouble. And this one seems to...
in populating all the various cells.
Yeah, exactly. And this one seems to solve our issues.
So this guy is making a case for sticking an extension in front of a raw device. So how do we address, I'm still trying to figure out how to address the comment about tree instead of stack or graph. If you have the... see, I didn't commit the update to the response to reviewer for if you open the existing response document and scroll down all the way towards the reviewer for
but you haven't committed it yet.
No, you don't have to look at my commit. You don't need it. I'm just looking at the comment from the reviewer.
Okay.
So, the first paragraph, the high-level feedback don't know if you remember reading that. That's where the reviewer asks, rather than stacking and allowing arbitrary connections, have each extension expose a set of input and output ports, and it means directly connect these ports with flow edges. So I'm trying to figure out how to best answer this question. And then later on he gives, if you scroll down further, as part of the page 3 comment, he gives some examples of what this alternate could allow.
Essentially, we want to disallow this sort of example that he's proposing, right?
Either that, or discuss how the theory can work or be extended to work for this sort of scenario. So an extension has not just one instance, but multiple instances simultaneously active. For instance, if you look at both of these examples, multiple instances of IS in the first example and DD in the second example. Is you don't have necessarily a single stack either per device, because it's an arbitrary graph. You can go from any source to any destination in multiple ways, potentially.
No. Wait. Yeah, that confused me a bit. Why?
So look at, for instance, figure, what is it? Figure 10, right? So in figure 10, if you stick another I/O extension in front of D, or some other extension, you could So how do I get multiple stacks? So we do have multiple stacks in these examples, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we reason about multiple stacks? For one stack, we can reason about it. But if it's multiple stacks and you if you consider each stack separately, then you say, okay, given this stack extension A dominates, and given this other stack extension C dominates for a specific volume, what can we say?
I see your point. I mean, it becomes significantly harder to reason about dominance.
Yeah. Which is why I kind of like the simplicity of having an extension only manage data volumes. And since you have extensions only managing data volumes, then you have essentially a single stack that you have to construct, as opposed to multiple various, as opposed to a single graph. And creating a graph is a lot more complex, or the optimal graph is a lot more complex. So that's what this requires, right?
Yes.
And not just creating is a separate story. Given a graph, reasoning about it is harder.
Yeah, significantly harder. Yeah, I mean, going over that in my head, and it's not true. But then also, how would you argue about the whole system, right? You can.
Yeah. So what can we do about this? There are two extensions in our examples. One is MF, and the other is BV. I think BV can be tackled. BV can be tackled by just making the input domain D, but I think we have to go through this rules grid again to see if our examples actually continue to work with the modifications that we make to the input and output domains.
Yeah, that's going to be a little delicate. We'll have to...
Well, even before that, we need to find out if MF can be made to conform to the requirement that input domains have to be data volumes. Because right now F, according to at least my current thinking, is not a data volume. And we make it a data volume.
Wait. I think F is a data volume, now that I think of it.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't have to worry about this. Yeah, because the way that we are thinking of it is that...
Isn't F the one that we are using for optimizing performance? No?
No.
Oh, no, that's true.
No. It is a data volume.
Oh, yeah. That is true. So it's MF is fine, and so is BV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. that saved me a scare.
Okay, it's not the same example as before.
No, it's not the same. So before, it wasn't a data volume, and here it is a data volume.
We have to be careful with the symbols then, to make sure that we use different kinds of symbols for raw devices and data volumes.
Yeah, we'll have to revise that. Let's write that down.
Okay, that is much better. So we're still okay. The reason we went there was to understand what's going on in the roles grid, figure 6, right?
Yes.
And the last one, the last row is the one we wanted to find out what might be going on. So an output of a data volume could be distinct from its input, could be disjoint from the input.
Could you repeat that again?
The output volume, output domain and input domain can be disjoint.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah, because I heard something different.
Yeah, I said something else, which is why you heard something else.
Okay.
The output domain and the input domain can be distinct, which happens in the case of I/O.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
There's no overlap.
Correct.
Wait a minute. This rule says that the two extensions are dominant for different volumes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So A is dominant, which is the extension on top is dominant for all X is a member of input of A, if and only if output of B intersection input of A is null. Is that what we are illustrating? Are we illustrating the first one or the second one in that?
What?
In that cell, in figure, I guess figure 8. Which one are we illustrating? I/O, I guess. So are we illustrating both, right?
This is not making. Oh, I see. Okay. Yes.
In other words, we are saying. No wonder the guy asked for like small pictures of the stack here, because that does tell you what the input and output domains are.
Yeah, it's much harder to reason about it this way.
You have to go back and forth.
Exactly. You have to go to the table, look at the table, look at the rule, look at the...
So we illustrating both or not? IP. Let's look at the first condition, which is A dominates for all X in the input domain of A, if and only if output of B intersection input of A is null. Is that true? Is output of B intersection input of A is null? Output of B, which is IAS.
It's not null.
Input of A is not null.
Mm-hmm.
So IO doesn't dominate at all.
Yeah.
for anything.
That's what we have.
So how is this? At least we should be illustrating the second rule. Maybe we can put two things in there. Two examples there. Okay, the second part of the rule is input of P minus input of A. Input of P, which is in IS, minus input of A. That should be F. So we're saying that IS dominates for F.
Which column row are you looking at? I think I'm looking at a different one.
I'm looking at cell
row, right?
Cell 1, 3. So sorry, 3, 1. So third row, first column.
Okay. Yeah, that's the same one I was looking at.
Okay. So. So if you look at the example that we provide as illustration, we do IO on top of IS as an illustration of that rule.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes.
I'm trying to think, how is it that this specific example is illustrating that rule? The rule is actually in two parts, right? It says that A dominates for all X in the input domain of A, if and only if the output domain of P intersection input domain of A is null. Correct?
Yes. Yeah, but that's not true here.
Is not null, and therefore we have to look at the second part of the, so we are certainly not illustrating the first part of the rule. So are we illustrating the second part of the rule, which is B dominates for all X such that for all X in input of B minus input of A.
Yeah, but that's
F. IS, input of IS minus input of IO is just F.
It's F, you're right, yeah.
And that's fine because IS will dominate for F. IO does not even touch F.
Yeah, but we should be saying that IO dominates for D.
Right. IO should dominate for D, correct? But it's so the rule is
essentially we want to say that if A touches the data, then B should not touch it. That's what we want to say, I think, there.
Sorry.
Or something along those lines.
Oh yeah, which is true, because output, I mean, if you look at the top of the column, output of A,
mm-hmm.
intersection input of B is null. So if A touches
something,
B will not
right.
touch it.
Yeah, you're
So we need to get rid of the if and only if clause.
Yes.
And then the rule will be illustrated both parts.
Yeah, that's true.
And the reason why this if and only if clause was bothersome to me is, I mean, at least for this column, that if and only if clause is possible. But and how could that even output of B, output of B intersection input of A is null. So in other words, can an extension whose input volume does not, so input domain does not contain a specific volume, actually generate data for that volume? I guess it's possible because
that's possible.
That's happening in I/O, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I/O is generating writes to data volume DR. But this rule, I mean, how do we get rid of, why did we have the if and only if clause?
I can't remember why, to be honest.
Output of B in this case, output of IS, intersection input of. Has to be a reason why we stuck that in. It's possible that we didn't think this through. Even when we have the same clause in multiple places, we have to reevaluate or think about all of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Jorge, do you want to think about this a little bit more?
Yeah, I'm beginning to wonder why we put that clause everywhere.
Yeah. Why don't you think about this a little bit more? Then we'll come back to this because I'm not convinced that we need that clause, at least for that specific cell.
Neither am I. I'll think about it. I can't find a reason why we actually wrote it down.
One of the comments that the fourth reviewer makes, that did you switch A and B in the final, in that specific cell? I don't know what he meant by that. I mean, we could switch A and B in many different ways in that specific cell.
Yeah. It's not very descriptive. I'll definitely think about it.
I think the reason we probably switched, we added that was, because this rule is not illustrated now, right? We are not illustrating it. Maybe we created the illustration before we stuck in that if and only if clause.
That's that's what I think. Yeah, but actually, if we did that, it doesn't make much sense. Wonder a lot. Right,
Okay, so Jorge, why don't you think about this, and then we'll talk about your thoughts, because I feel like this requires a little bit more time.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to mess up our submission by doing something which we are not completely sure about.
I'm gonna look at this one. Actually, I'll look at all the examples, because at this point I'm unsure of what's going on.
Okay.
To be honest, I mean, you made me doubt a bit.
Okay. All right. So, why don't you do that, and then we can meet on Wednesday to discuss what you found.
Yeah. So this Wednesday I'm not gonna be here.
Okay.
So, can we stick to Friday for next week, Jim?
Friday of next week. Okay, yes. Okay, yes. But we'll have to meet via Skype, because I probably won't be in my office.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Yeah, but the issue is that this week I'm not gonna be in the office those days. So, because I'm gonna be in a conference. So. It's gonna be hard.
Okay, let's do next Friday then. And that'll also give you some time to reevaluate all the rules and the examples.
Sure.
Because I think you need some time to go over these.
In the meantime, I updated part of the text. Feel free to look at it and let me know what you think when you have a chance.
So what were these updates primarily for?
In section 5.5, I added a description of the algorithm.
Okay.
And then I slightly tweaked the algorithm and a few modifications.
Okay. All right. I'll do that.
Do it by next week. If you see anything that needs to be addressed or it's not clear, just let me know, and I'll see how I can reward it or change it somehow.
All right. Okay.
Okay, Raju. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll speak next Friday at 4 p.m.
Okay. Sure.
Great. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.